Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Happy Monday and welcome to Call to Freedom. May the Lord give you an unwavering confidence that you can do anything He calls you to do, and it will be blessed. So don't throw away your confidence in Jesus Christ, because it has a great reward. I know some of us haven't received the reward yet. I have. I've received a wonderful, the harvest is coming in, folks, and I hope that you're realizing that and not looking just at the physical harvest, but the spiritual harvest that is involved here. Oh, I pray for you every day. I just got through taking care of putting the newsletter into the envelopes and sealing them and stamping them, and prayed for each and every one of you who are on my mailing list. I pray for you daily that you will see the great harvest that God has for you. So don't throw away that confidence in Jesus Christ, for it has a great, great reward for you. Let's do our Monday slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. Wow, that's powerful. In that affirmation, it is just so powerful that I am what He says I am. I'm not going according to what the world tells me I am. Uh-uh. And the world may, you know, even your family may call you names. But God tells you that you are righteous before Him. You are holy before Him. You are His child. Praise the Lord. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. We're going through the last very part of Psalm 121. That psalm is the pilgrim ascending to Jerusalem, and that's us. When Jesus comes back, we are going to be ascending to Jerusalem. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. You can say, He will not let me stumble. The one who watches over me will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord Himself watches over me. The Lord stands beside me as my protective shade. The sun will not harm me by day, nor the moon by night. Let's look at the Message translation of Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8 this week. And we're memorizing the whole chapter that way. The 7th and 8th verse of Psalm 121, God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now and He guards you always. That reminds me of Deuteronomy 28, doesn't it? Deuteronomy 28, verse 6 says, "And blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." So God is covering you, covering all the bases there, friend. Passion translation of Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8. He will keep you, and I'm memorizing this along with you. He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity as He continually watches over you. And He will be guided. You will be guarded by God Himself. You will be safe when you leave your home and safely when you return. He will protect you now, and He'll protect you forevermore. Oh, that kind of reminds me of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. That my thoughts for you are not for evil or for calamity, but for welfare and good health. Praise the Lord. And He will give you a future and a whole hope. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I need some help here, Holy Spirit. Psalm 91, verses 11 through 13 says, God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. You're going to hear more and more about angels contributing to this world we're living in. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling them, every one of them, beneath your feet. And that's Psalm 91, verses 11 through 13 in the Passion. That's so good. And especially at the beginning of the week, it's just a wonderful realization to know that God is going to be with you wherever you go. He's going to be guarding over you, protecting you, and keeping you from harm. My confession for today by Rick Renner: I confess that I'm led by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit tugs and pulls on my heart, and I'm learning to cooperate with Him. He gently leads me where He wants me to go. Because I am sensitive to Him, Holy Spirit leads me one step at a time to exactly where He wants me to go with my life, where He wants me to go. When I was young, when you were young, you had all kinds of ideas of what you wanted to do. And now at your age, have you gotten a different job? Have you had a different dream? Are you fulfilling a different vision? Probably you're going out and you're coming in, and God is there for you. He wants us to be so cognizant of that he is with us every moment of every day. He sees and knows what I cannot see. He is leading me exactly where I need to be in order to reach my maximum potential in life. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Oh, that's a good one. That's a great affirmation. Now, this week, starting tonight, is Passover, and Passover is a high holy week for the Jewish people. The 8-day Jewish holiday of Passover is celebrated in the early spring from the 15th through the 22nd of the Hebrew month of Nisan, April 22nd through the 30th of this year. Passover, or Pesach, commemorates the emancipation of the Israelites from slavery in ancient Egypt. Pesach is observed by avoiding leaven. Ooh, that's hard for me to avoid leaven. I love bread. And highlighted by the Seder meals that include 4 cups of wine, eating matzah and bitter herbs, and retelling the story of the Exodus. I remember when Darren and I went to one Passover, many tables. It was a huge room and many tables. And in the middle, they were round tables. In the middle of these tables was a big bowl, and it was the matzah. Matzah is in a broth, probably a chicken broth. And it's very good. But in this bowl were huge matzah balls. And I remember them giving the matzah to several people around the table, including one little girl. Dear, and I just broke out laughing. She took that big matzah ball in her hand and threw it back into the bowl in the middle of the table. She did not want to eat that matzah ball. Oh, God bless her. So this is a celebration of the emancipation of the Israelites from Egypt. Now, Passover is commemorated and celebrated for the victory God gave to His people in Egypt the night the death angel passed over those who had blood sprinkled on the doorposts and lintels, the horizontal cross piece. And that really reminds us of the cross of Jesus Christ. This was the Old Testament sign of salvation from death and destruction. The construction of the door frames, the doorposts, and the lintel do make a cross, and the blood on the lintel was a symbol of the blood of Christ. Jesus is truly the Passover Lamb who was taken away. He's taken away the sin of the world, including your daily sins, my friend. I mean, what a merciful and loving God. Yes, He destroyed the sin that brought about the death in the Garden of Eden. And yes, I know we still die, but our spirits go to heaven. Now, in the Old Testament, when they died, their spirits went down into a grave. And they were there when Jesus went down, when He was crucified, and then it was 3 days later, He went down in that grave-like situation, and He presented the gospel, His wonderful salvation message, and He brought captivity captive to those captives down underneath. Oh, I have a picture of it, and I can't really explain it. It's just wonderful. Jesus is truly the Passover Lamb who was taken away the sin of the world. And Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with His disciples the night before He was crucified. Now, in Luke 22, you can look that up, and you can also read, I believe it's card 41 in the Power Pack. It's wonderful to have that ready when you're taking communion. And all this week, I'm taking communion at home every morning. So I encourage you to do that too. Luke 22, verses 13 through 20 in the Message translation. And the disciples left, found everything just as Jesus told them, and prepared the Passover meal. When it was time, he sat down all the disciples with him and said, "You've no idea how much I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat together in the kingdom of God." Taking the cup, he blessed it and then said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." Then he did something different here. He took the bread, and this is verse 19 of Luke 22. Taking the bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you." Now, in the actual Passover, they're trying to find Jesus among the, the Seder meal, during the Seder meal. And so they're trying to find Messiah. Here, Messiah is telling them, oh, this is so good. He's taking the bread and blessing it and saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it, and as you eat it, remember me." And he did the same with a cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." See, it's no longer Old Testament. This is the new covenant written in my blood, blood poured out for you. And the Passover for the believer has now become communion. This is wonderful, a wonderful revelation for us. Passover occurs at the spring of the year, the first new year of the Jewish year. So it's the first new year, and it's in Nisan. Then the other holy days occur during the fall of the year, and it is the Jewish people's second new year. Yeah, the Jewish people have two new years, one in Nisan and one at the fall of our year. And it's Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, and Yom Kippur, which is the suffering festival of giving God their sins and mourning over their sins that they have committed during the year. Now, Jesus is compared to the Passover lamb because, number one, the Passover lamb was without blemish, and that's in Exodus 12, verse 5. And Jesus said, or Peter said of Jesus in 1 Peter 1, 18, "You are not redeemed with perishable things such as animal blood, but with precious blood as of the lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." The Passover lamb was one of the flock. And Hebrews 2, verse 17 says, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest." The Passover lamb was killed between 3 and 6 p.m., and that's in Exodus 12, verse 6. Jesus died at 3 p.m., and that's in Mark 15, verse 34 and 37. The Passover lamb was to be consumed that night. Nothing was to be left over for the next day. Jesus' body was taken down and did not remain on the cross overnight, which was the usual procedure in those days with the Roman Empire. They would hang on the cross overnight. And the Passover lamb's bones were not to be broken, Exodus 12, verse 46. Now, all those Old Testament scriptures are in Exodus 12. The Roman custom was to break the legs of those crucified to accelerate the death. That would bring suffocation quickly. But seeing that Jesus was already dead, they did not carry it out and break the bones of his legs. And you can read that in John 19, verse 33. In Ephesians 2, verse 14 and 15, and you might want to listen to this over again because I'm giving quite a few scriptures here. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body. So we don't have that hatred toward the Jewish people, and they don't have that hatred towards us. If you would talk to a Jewish man, they are very respectful of the Christian faith. And I'm so grateful for that. You can read that again in Ephesians 2, 14 through 15 in the Passion. So we know that the Passover here this week is very important to the people of Israel and also to the Jewish people in the United States. I want to read a story from the Friends of Israel about Rafi, who was there on October 7th. And it's an article in Israel, My Glory. In January, Friends of Israel led a group of 14 people to Israel to let them know that they are not alone in this persecution they are enduring. Friends of Israel had placed many bomb shelters near Gaza over the years. Through tear-filled eyes, Rafi, a heroic survivor of the October 7th massacre, told us, "As I arose on October 8th, I wondered if I made a mistake bringing my children into this world." He told us of that dreadful morning when they had opened their homes the night before for Simchat Torah to 19 family members. At 6:30 a.m., the red alert siren alerted them to incoming missiles. This is 6:30 in the morning when most of us are still in bed. Rafi, telling his wife he would be home later, immediately headed for the command center. Little did anyone know what was about to unfold. Rafi is the security chief for a cluster of 16 communities near Gaza, and he knows his way around that area. En route to the command center, an oncoming driver injured by bullets warned Rafi that terrorists were nearby. They were coming and they were invading everything, every kibbutz they could find. Rafi turned back toward his kibbutz and only to encounter 42 cars filled with people fleeing the music festival. They stopped their cars at the entrance of Rafi's kibbutz to seek protection in a bomb shelter. But Rafi, who had turned around, led the cars away from the shooters and took them off-road through an orchard and across a road to a fortified underground bunker a few miles from his kibbutz. God used Rafi that day. All who followed him survived. But a dozen cars, now there were 42 cars, so you subtract a dozen that didn't follow him. Oh, many were saved that day through Rafi's faith in God and his direction. A dozen cars did not go with Rafi, and when he returned the next day, he found the occupants had all been killed and the cars burned. Rafi took us to a graveyard for the cars that were damaged and burned during Hamas's attack. The open field was piled high with burnt cars and endless rows of cars with bullet holes and torn metal. Rafi was one of the millions of hurting Israelis who feel alone in this world. They make up the only Jewish nation on earth with only 7 million Jewish people in a world of 8 billion people. Now, Romans 8 is a really good chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. Romans 11, this is such a sad story. I'm emotional here. Romans 11, verse 25 through 36 tells us, and Paul is saying here, "I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel blessed in every way. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved." Hallelujah. As the scripture says in Isaiah 59, verse 20, "The one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with him, saith the Lord. I will take away their sins." Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you, Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead, you Gentiles. Now they are rebels and God's mercy has come to you, so they too will share in God's mercy. For God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so he could have mercy on everyone. Oh, if we hadn't been disobedient, we wouldn't experience his love and mercy. And right before he passed away, Moses proclaimed a blessing on Israel from God. "Blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and you will tread on their heights." We must declare, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Here is Paul Wilbur.
The Lord, he is God. of Isaac and Israel. Let it be known today that you are God. We offer up our life as a living sacrifice. Purify us with your holy fire. Yeah.
amen. Hallelujah. I hope you're rejoicing with the Jewish people today. Oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? Oh, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever and forever and forever. Oh, and I want to say that verse of scripture from Deuteronomy 23 again. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and you will tread on their heights. Oh, praise God. We're going to see that. Friends, we're going to see that in these last days. I hope you will join me the mornings of this wonderful Holy Week of Passover for the Jewish people, and take communion every morning. What you do is you take some grape juice and bless it. You take crackers and bless them to be the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and take communion with me every morning. It's going to be a wonderful time of celebration with the Jewish people at their Passover time. God bless you and keep you, and I pray that you will know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Be with you. God bless you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in